All right. Once again, my name's Toby, and I'm a recovered alcoholic. You know, this is a very interesting program, and I love the way we all reach our hands out when in need. And I'll tell you, last week was kind of, you know, busy with Halloween and holidays and everything else, and having done this for a while, it's tough to find speakers. And I was in desperate need to find someone, and all I did was call a friend of mine, I guess on, was it Monday, and said, hey, look, do you know any young women or men who are maybe interested in speaking? I need somebody for, I'm trying to get people for the month. And I especially need somebody for this Thursday. And she said, you know what? I know somebody who just might fit the bill. Let me give you a call. I said, well, just have them call me, whoever it is. The next thing I know, within an hour, I get a call from this young lady. Says, I'd be more than happy to speak. When do you need me? And I think that kind of is the epitome of what this program is about, is that when called upon, we're there. And I am truly grateful that she's here tonight. I can't wait to hear her story. And with that, I give you Nicole D.
All right, Nicole D. This is a first that I'm taller than the podium. Usually I have to reach up. Hi, I'm Nicole. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is April 26, 2012, and I have a sponsor, and I also sponsor other women. And that's usually the general introduction that I learned from other women and other people that have, you know, went before me and spoke. So I just, like, copied them, you know, because it's, as others say, there's nothing original here. I thought that, like, I made it up when really I didn't make anything up. This is pretty small, so I can just, like, lay back and relax and just tell you guys where I came from, you know? So, I come from a long line of alcoholism. I remember as a little girl, you know, the bars up in Long Island, you know, Santa Claus, like, you know, our Christmases, you know, Santa Claus. And I remember that theme, Here Comes Santa Claus, that song. And we were in a bar, like the Italian New Yorkers, and they're all throwing shots down. And just the kids are all here, and we're waiting for Santa Claus, and that song's playing. And Santa Claus comes with the gifts, you know. And he's drunk as shit, you know. And trying to give gifts, and he's, like, throwing them at us, and we're, like, dodging it, you know? Like, oh, I got this one. Did you get that one, you know? I want the big one, and we're fighting, you know? But that's just, like, the norm, you know? And clear memories of my father, you know, very aggressive alcoholic. You know, I remember very clearly that horrible sound of the key in the lock, you know, and, you know, it's like, shit, okay, go run, you know, because I know what's going to happen next. You know, he was going to beat up mom, you know, and those were the things that I would hate, but now, see, this program teaches us where we came from. You know, I couldn't save mom. I couldn't go help her. So that's things that I carried along all through my life. You know, I can't fix shit. I can't do it all. That's stuff I gotta leave to God, you know, and I can't be Superwoman. And that's the amazing thing for this program today, you know. Took me a long time to realize that, but that's where I came from as a kid, you know, growing up with that. That's the household, you know, the norm. You know, alcohol, drugs, you know, they divorced. My mom, her coping mechanism was to go out to the clubs with her girls, come back 2 o'clock in the morning, puking her guts out in the toilet, and me holding her back, her hair back and whatnot. You know, and as it progressed, she went to nursing school, single mom. You know, and I grew up with that kind of lifestyle. You know, the normal, perfect family, you know. So, with that being said, I went to high school, you know, I grew up, went to school. I was always made fun of because I was the redhead and I was different and, you know, went into high school, and then I moved down here And that was like the best thing. I was always trying to fit in. I had cousins down here, and I remember them taking me to the beach the first time. And I was like, I'm going to be just like them. I'm going to slab on the baby oil, you know, because they're doing it. They're doing it because I need to be just like them, you know. Oh, yeah, I got like third-degree burns. I was black as Kim's shirt right over there. Oh, my God, I was in the ER. But they asked me, what were you thinking? I was like, well, I want to be just like you, you know. Had that need to fit in, that desire, you know. So, obviously, that didn't work out too well. And the program has showed I don't need to fit in anywhere. I can just be me. I have this in my apartment, this thing right above my door, and it says, be who you are. And shoot, I'm Nicole today, and I love it, you know. I am God's child today. And anyway, so going through that, I get the first taste of marijuana, and I got my first consequence. I got caught, and my stepdad approaches me, and he goes, like, I'm vigorously washing the dishes, and he knows that's not of me, and he says, what is wrong with you? You're high. And I said, now, he used to smoke pot, too. So I said, yeah, I'm high. And he goes, it's all right. I won't tell your mom. I was like, oh, yes, sweet. So I go and do my business. And the second time I attempt at any kind of substance to feel other than myself, it was not it was not like a they said, like, back then when I was, like, going to high school, or going to middle school, high school, the big thing was to drop acid, I guess it was, you know, and the girl in school was like, come on, we'll go to my aunt's house. She's got, like, you know, acid, pills that are just like acid. I was like, all right, cool, let's go. Let's do this, you know? So we go, and two of the girls took it before me, and I'm watching them drop. Now, I had already put it in my system. You'd think I'd do something smart about it because they're not acting like the way she's describing it's going to be. Well, by the time it affected me, the next thing I know, I was in the back of an ambulance, and they were pounding on my chest. And then the next thing I know, they're putting a tube down my throat, and then I'm alert and orientated. They're telling me that I was attempting to commit suicide. I said, you don't understand. I said, I need to have the last word. I'll write a note if I'm trying to commit suicide to tell you guys I'm committing suicide. I'll let you guys know I'm trying to leave the earth. I was just trying to get messed up. No, it wound up being heart medication to slow down the heart was what it was. The aunt had a heart problem. And this girl, you know, she's like, yeah, we're going to get messed up. Well, we ended up being at that point, it's the harbor, you know. So that's like the psychiatric unit over in Newport Richey. That was my first institution. They took my shoelaces away, and I had no idea why. Still no idea that I have anything wrong with me as far as alcoholism, drug addiction. So I go, you know, I'm skipping school. I'm doing what the other people are doing, you know, and luckily, I make up everything in summer school, and I still get to graduate high school with honors. And it was either I really wanted to go to college, you know, but the family couldn't afford that, so they persuaded me. You know, I remember being at that Thanksgiving table, and my family's like, "You either need to go to college, or you can't go to college. You either need to work your butt off and save, or go to the military and do this. But I highly suggest you go into the military because they'll pay for your school. That's what you need to do. You need to. I was like, I guess I don't have a choice. You know, at that point, I didn't feel like I did. So I joined the Navy. And yeah, that's where I really, really established a wonderful career of drinking. You know, I loved drinking tequila. That was it. And I, as a matter of fact, I was just showing one of my girls over at the table. I have these Bar of Norfolk stickers that I loved to earn, because I would get up on that bar, and whenever you shook it just enough, you would get slapped with them all down, and I would go home with all of them, and I would earn little dancing dollars. You know, today I don't need any alcohol to dance. I'll just dance wherever. You know, that's just my carefree attitude, and that, again, that's amazing, because of the program, you know? That's just me. So with that being said, within a year of that disgusting behavior, that alcoholism, I became pregnant, and they gave me the choice of either having, getting discharged, or having my child and staying. So I was like, well, I could do this. I could stay. And I did. I stayed. So I was like, okay, there's not a, you know, I was trying to figure things out and all that. And I did okay, but I was miserable, like, you know. And unfortunately, some medical complications occurred right after I had my son. And I had to have a surgery within 4 months afterwards. And I remember the that first pain pill that I swallowed after. And that feeling. And that feeling that I had once, like, within 30 minutes of it hitting. And it was like a feeling that went from my head all the way down to my big toe. You know, alcohol, the marijuana, nothing could feel the same way that felt. And I can identify that now, you know, 11 years later. So fast forward, I served, you know, 5.5 years altogether. And, you know, I dipped and dabbed here and there. I drank. I took pain pills. I had multiple surgeries. Ended up being, I had something traumatic occur in the military. And, you know, I got discharged honorably. And the shit hit the fan when I got out. You know, I love to stuff stuff, and I love to avoid. I don't know if anybody can relate, you know, and I like to run when things get a little bit, you know, twisted. And that's exactly what I did. You know, I got home with my mom. I was safe. I was in my comfort zone. And I really, really knew how to, you know, get messed up. I got introduced to cocaine. So I mixed that with some alcohol. And, you know, everybody knew I had a problem but me. And before I knew it, you know, I got into a lovely apartment. I held it well. I got into a job, and, you know, for the hospital as an EEG tech. Before I knew it, I was performing medical procedures on patients, messed up, you know. I had the dope man bringing my stuff to the hospital. You know, things that I would say I would never do, you know. And as I said, it was in 2009 that I was arrested. I remember being in jail on Thanksgiving around that time. And I was like, oh, I have to go to work. I was in jail, you know. I was like, I'm going to lose my job. But that was the least of my problems, you know. I had no idea still at that point that I had a problem with drugs and alcohol. I did not know. I just thought I needed to get to work, you know. Forget about my son, you know. I just thought I needed to get to work, you know. So my mom finally took my call. This is the first go around, and she goes, you know, Nicole, you have a problem with drugs. And I'm like, I guess you're right. You know what? Can you bond me out? You know, it's just a bounced check. Can you just bond me out? I don't have an issue with drugs. She goes, look, you need to get a hold of the VA and get admitted over there. I said, all right, whatever, let's do it. So my grandmother got me out, and I stayed with my grandma. I got into the alcohol and drug addiction treatment program over there. It was 3 weeks, and I did it all, you know. I told everybody what they wanted to hear. I smiled. I got the apartment back. I got the car back. I even had a little pretty garden outside in the apartment when I got that back. I mean, everything looked so freaking pretty. But I felt like shit on the inside. You know? I got the sponsor they told me to get. I think I worked 1, 2, and 3. Pretty good. And I had the sponsor here in Tampa. Because everything was here in Tampa, but I moved to Newport Richey. So it was really, I had everything manipulated perfect. I would call my sponsor, and as things got even deeper, I'm calling my sponsor, but I'm drinking and snorting a line at the same time with her on the phone. That's the truth of it. And then, of course, I met, I got reintroduced to one of the guys I met in rehab in Tampa, and that was amazing. We were meant to be. And I moved him right in, into my apartment. And before I know it, he got my bank card. I could say him. I did that. I was like really good. I was telling my mom it was all him. It was me. Because I was relapsed way before he took my bank card and was smoking the crack, you know? We were both doing it together, you know? So it was like the beautiful relationship of AA. The typical, what do they say? They have the kid first and then, you know, they do it all backwards. So with that being said, I was gone, you know? And I ended up losing my home again. And it was just the vicious cycle because you know why? I didn't concede to my innermost self that I was an alcoholic. I always had this issue because I am an alcoholic to the core. To the core. I put that first drink in me and I am gone. No matter what they say, you know? This was my issue the first time around in treatment. When I was in there, I'm sitting there like twiddling my thumbs in ADAP, and that's with the little acronym. I'm like, I'm gonna have that drink because my dad is an alcoholic and he beat my mom. And I'm nothing like him. I didn't beat my kid. I didn't abuse him. I was good to him. I let him go to Catholic school. I let him make his communion. As a matter of fact, he's doing that right now. He says, please. He says, thank you. I'm a great mom. I'm a wonderful mom. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. You know, I didn't lose anything. I didn't lose a damn thing. I gave everything away. I gave it to the bartender. I gave my son away. I gave the lease to my 3 apartments away. Every single time I hear beep, beep, beep to the tow truck, you know, every time that car would get repoed and I'm calling my grandma up, that's because I wasted all of my money on alcohol and drugs. I gave everything away. I gave my son away to the dope dealer. You know, that is the truth about it. So no, I didn't smack him like that, but I emotionally abused him by my actions and my choices that I made. And I can say that. And I don't have shame and guilt anymore today because I have worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I have made amends to my son. You know? Today, a year and a half ago, by the grace of God, over the course of 2 days, I put over 300 pills in my system, and I got behind the wheel of the car, and I dropped my son off at school, and I said, I will pick you up in a little, like, by the end of the day, and I didn't show up to pick him up. I was on my way to go get some more stuff, and I tapped a car, but by the grace of God, I didn't do anything else. I just tapped it. And when the police officer came, he asked me if I was under the influence. I said, yep. I said, see the empty pill bottle right there? That was not me speaking. I'll tell you that right now. That was God speaking through me because I have had enough. And he gave me a field sobriety test, and I fought him every tooth and nail, and I still remember this. As messed up as I was, I still remember, like, having my eyes halfway closed, and he's like, close them. I'm like, they're closed. And put my finger up, all that stuff. But I was arrested that day for a DUI. And I remember going in front of the judge several months later, and the judge had asked me, you know, he was ready to release me on 4 years probation, you know, because not only was it the DUI, but I also had other bounced checks coming through, because when I get intoxicated, I like to write checks thinking I have all this money in my account, you know, or saying I will have money, which I do get money coming in, but I spend that money, you know, yeah. I'm really great with finances when I'm intoxicated. I'm a lot better today. So, anyway, he was ready to release me, and I looked at him, and I said, Your Honor, if you let me go today, I'm going to one place, and that's where I'm going to get my, you know, my drugs and my alcohol. I said, I ask you, please, to keep me in jail until you can release me somewhere where I can get help. I said, I've had enough. The last 2 months, I've done nothing but pray. I said, I can't do this anymore to myself. And he looked at me and he said, I have never had anyone surrender like this before. And by the grace of God, there was a man by the name of Billy Majors there. And he had talked to my attorney right there, Darren Johnson, and they did something. And they said to Judge Andrews, they said, okay, we'll get you into the Athena House. And I said, thank you, God. And several weeks later, Judge Roberts seen me for the DUI. That got cleared up, and a week later, I got released to the Athena House. And that was in June of last year, or I don't even know the exact date, but thank you, God, I did that. And I remember, you know, the seed was originally planted in 2009, even though I was just, you know, doing the talk and no kind of action. I do remember the little stuff they said, you know, like get a sponsor and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so I actually did it this time because I wanted it. And when they say in that, in How It Works, no human power could relieve me of my alcoholism, damn, that is the truth. Because it's only God that can do within me. I had to have come to the lowest level that I possibly could have. And I'm getting chill bumps even talking about that, goosebumps. Because I was low. I was so low. You know? And I had such a problem admitting that I was powerless because, you know, I was in the Navy. I was a powerful bitch. You can't fuck with me. You know? So I had such a problem the first go around saying that I was powerless. And I think that was another big problem that I had. You know, I didn't want to say I was powerless over something, but I get the difference today because somebody really, truly broke it down to me. You know, that had nothing to do with powerful and powerless. I am powerless over people, places, and things. You know, I'm powerless over drugs and alcohol. You know, I can't. Once I put that first drink or drug in me, that's it. I'm done. I can't, you know, the doctor's opinion breaks it down the way it does, you know. I have an allergy to this. She said it to me, like, if I was allergic to strawberries, am I going to put a strawberry in my mouth? No. Duh. Who would do something like that, you know? Only a fool. Well, we also have that, you know, stinking thinking, you know, that tells us, oh, it's going to be okay this time, just this one time. If you just try it, you'll be able to control it, you know, and that's what the way the doctor's opinion breaks that down to me. And my sponsor had broken it down. And that was another big difference. I actually got the sponsor and listened to what she said. And then she, like, analyzed this book. And I was willing. I was willing, and I was honest, and I was also open-minded. And that's what it says, too, that's necessary for that psychic change to occur. You know? Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That was easy for me. I believed in God, so I knew I was insane. You know, 3, made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. That was it right there. You know, I struggled with that, you know, on a day-to-day basis, turning it over, surrendering, you know, the big, you know, but that is, I say that prayer over and over and over. But I had to do that before I did 4, like all the action steps. Because nothing, if I try to take my will over anything, I can't do any kind of work, you know? Everything is in His will. If I align my will to His will, everything will go perfect and smooth. But when I go and try to run shit on my own, it all goes shitty. Like, everything goes all messed up. Everything else, 4 through 9, amazing. Amazing. I mean, I can't, that's the only word that I can describe, but amazing. I have had some very traumatic stuff that has occurred from childhood through the end of military time. And if it wasn't for those searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, damn, did that stuff hurt. Yes. But you know what? If I didn't do the work and get down deep with that and then work with another woman and go through that stuff, I would not be standing here today and to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with you guys. Also, I can pass this along to another woman, to even another man, you know? I drank and I drugged for a reason, because I didn't like the way I felt. I didn't like the way I looked. I didn't like the way I, all of me. Now, I there's a reason why Bill Wilson made these steps. They work. Damn, they work. I like who I am today. And it's because I did the work. The biggest, step 9, I have a relationship with my mom that's, she hasn't changed one bit. Today, we don't argue, we don't fuss, we don't fight. The women at this table know the relationship that I had with my mother, I would shake by the time I got off the phone with her in anger. Today, peace, serene. I say the acceptance prayer every time I go over there, about 4 times prior to, but it's all good, you know? God's got it. She's taking care of my son. I am so grateful. She did the best job she could raising me. And thank you, God, my child is in good care right now and not with the state of Florida. The one amends that I will share that I made, and I'll close with that, my son, my 10-year-old son, and this is all of God right here. I went to my sponsor, ready to make amends to him, and she goes, you know, you gotta bring it down a little bit to, you know, to kid level. And see, me and my son have this great relationship. I just talk to him like he's an adult. You know, it's always just been me and him. His dad is not in the picture whatsoever. So I approached him. I said, Joey, you know, I have to tell you, you know, how can I make things better? Not like how can I make my wrongs a right or anything like that. I said, how can I make things better? And he looked at me and he goes, ask God, Mom. Because... yeah. If I tell you how I want to make it better, I'm going to tell you things that are selfish. Like, ask you for toys and video games. And I'm just, I couldn't, I did not know what to say back. And I just, he goes, now will you give me a hug, Mommy? I said, oh, yeah, come here. And that is, that's like, you know, like that's a result of this program, you know, like immediately I was like loving on him and whatnot. And, you know, of course I immediately called my sponsor and I was like, is this normal? Did I do this right? Like, I don't even think that was him speaking. That was God speaking through him.
Absolutely.
You know, and 11, my contact with God, again, amazing. I love meditating. I always thought I'd hear like this big thunderous voice of God, like, no, not even it. It's my own voice, you know. I was told don't litter, you know, on the street. And then every time I do litter, this one over here is like, Nicole, don't you remember? It was just like, because I was like, I know I didn't just say that in my own head, you know, like just the weirdest things, you know, but it's not weird. It's beautiful. And I was like, I wouldn't know that if I was messed up or any of this stuff, you know? And it's like that kind of experience, I would not trade it. Today, I would not trade that. The support that I have from the women in this program, oh my own. I mean, of course, I mean, everybody in AA, I mean, and then 12, the spiritual awakening as a result of these steps. I absolutely, positively love to do service work. I absolutely love it. I get a kick out of it every single time. I get a joy out of doing it. You know, calling people up on the list, be like, hey, there's something going on at the club. That the time I did the nightly newcomer anniversary party, that was so much fun. I got so much out of it. What we're doing right now, you know, I get so much joy just being with you guys, you know? So, and it just another day. And I know if I do today, what I do tomorrow, and if I just do it a little bit better, then I'll stay sober one more day. So with that, I'll close. Thank you.
All right, thank you.